Luke 6, verse 35. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. We were looking at this of the highest and what's demanded of us. So I don't remember. Where's the last scripture we studied?
Leviticus 11:45.
Okay, go to Leviticus 19.
Leviticus 19.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. I mean, remember we studied in Genesis 1 about that yesterday about we were made in the likeness, image and likeness. The likeness is holy, and only He, only Christ in us is holy. But it's you shall be holy, even as your heavenly Father is holy. You shall be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. This isn't, again, any attempt to be holy or perfect would lead to disastrous consequences. That's why the predicate of Christianity is your death. And until you see that, all you are is a hypocrite with a nice philosophy. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. This is the job of a teacher. Well, let's start in verse 20. Well, 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, speaking of Christ, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. That's kind of wild. You were enemies in your mind. You notice yours in italics. You were enemies in mind. That's the nature of the beast. There's no way your mind can be a friend of God. There's no way your mind can be subject to the law of God. For it is enmity against God. And so why do you continually try to use your mind, which is cursed, to gain that which is blessed? How can that possibly ever be? Everybody understand that? That's why you must always bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. All right. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind or lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Paul never thought anything was taking place with him. He knew after his conversion that any suffering, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten three times to the point of death, he was jailed. He had an affliction of his eyes that made him look like a monster. There's a particular disease that, from everything that the scholars think, it's this disease that had just made the whole socket of one of his eyes a red, pussy mess. But it was never about him. What?
He didn't direct cosmetic surgery.
It's weird right there. Yeah, the affliction of Christ.
All right. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, including this one, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And what it really says is the only hope. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. There again, I got a little problem here. If you're a teacher, your purpose is to present every man perfect.
In Christ Jesus. Not in himself, not in his Sunday best, not in his yard bed suit. In Christ.
You think that has happened?
What do you think?
I think it's happening.
Then why spot the garment with the flesh?
That's over my head. What do you mean?
Every time you think about yourself, then you've spotted the garment with your flesh. You've touched the dead body.
I wasn't just thinking about myself.
What?
I wasn't just thinking about myself.
Not just then.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it now.
Did
you
see me do it?
Yes, I've seen him do it. Remember, I'm his roommate.
Seen yourself do it?
Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. All right, let's go to Colossians 4. Well, just one verse, in verse 12. This is the closing of his letter to the Colossians. And he's saying, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Can you see why abandonment? There's only one answer. Total and complete emptying of self. Abandonment, taking no thought for your life. That's the only way. All right, we're going to go backwards. Let's go to Job. Just to upset Ronnie. Job 25. Bildad is one of the three idiots that are counselors of Job. There's only one counselor that has wisdom, and it's Elihu. Remember that? All right, this is now. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, "Dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies? And upon whom doth not his light shine? How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man, which is a worm?" Because he didn't see Christ. He only saw his hopelessness. All right. James. Chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, let's stop there a minute. At this point, 10 of the 12 tribes were lost in history. Remember, in the diaspora, they just disappeared. And every...
Long before this.
Yeah, long before this. But all these guys, you know, like, there's a whole group of people that teach that the 12, they all claim to be one of the 12 tribes. But the 12 tribes were a parable. For what? Anybody have any idea? Who is he talking about? Servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered. Who is the 12? Who are the 12 tribes?
Constellations.
12 is the number of completion. He's not talking about specific tribes of people. He's talking about the complete church, which are scattered everywhere. They may not even have named the name of Christ in their life. But remember, Christ is preaching to the dead. How can that be? I don't know. But it says it. We'll see that in a minute. All right. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Okay, let's go down to blah 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 blah. Well, let's start in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And what does it mean to endure? What is a temptation? Is anything you don't like? Blessed is a man that endureth it. What is endureth it?
To not succumb to it, resist. To endure, to repel, to...
Not to repel.
No, to not succumb to it.
No. First issue is, number one, it has nothing to do with you. Number two, your only response is wait on him. Now, he's not going to... Remember, we've talked so much about the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ has nothing to do with Adam. Does everybody understand that? The blood of Christ has to do with his church. People who have been converted, who have been born again, who screw up. But you don't continue in sin that grace may abound. But if you see that you screw up, if you see that there is a temptation going on, and you get, and you, boy, you get anxious. Boy, you get, you know, gotta do something instantly. Then you, when you smell it, you see that that's what you're doing. You say, Father, forgive me. And the blood of Christ cleanses you from all unrighteousness, from all trespass. And that's the freedom in him. There's nothing like it. That's why you can afford to abandon yourself. You can afford to prophesy, to speak whatever is there at all times. I hope you understand. Where did I just start?
You asked, what does enduring
temptation
mean? Yeah, I know. But I didn't remember what verse it was. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man when he is say when he is tempted or tested, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with either evil, neither tempteth he any man. Well, now that is that right? Well, just think about it. That's easy to say. Yeah, we'll go into that. We'd stay all day on that one, huh? But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, every man, when you read that, think you have to avoid death. But I teach the opposite. That to test, you must push all barriers. You must be ready to, what, no matter what the cost, just to always bubble forth, always be pushing everything to the limit. That's what we've taught the kids here forever. Much to the chagrin of the parents sometimes. But if lust is there, go for it. Because if you don't, you're going to just do it in your mind. But lust, when it's conceived, listen. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the only way you will know this death thing. That's the only way you'll understand what it means to mortify your flesh. That's the only way. Otherwise, you're going to just have a philosophy because it hasn't been wrought in you by Christ Jesus. And I promise you, you'll be a hypocrite. All right. I hope you understand.
That's kind of why religions, the first thing you do is make a list of what not to do.
Right.
Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Don't. In fact, if you pull back from everything.
Right. Then you have a nice, safe philosophy, but you're a freaking hypocrite. Right. Now this is dangerous. If you hear me, you're always at the knife edge. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of whom, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I love that. And receive with meekness, and not, I love the superfluity of naughtiness. I like the way that word sounds. Well, I probably like the superfluity of naughtiness too. Anybody doesn't like that?
What is superfluity?
Abundance.
Abundance of naughtiness.
It's all these women, so little time.
Yeah.
It's a superfluity of naughtiness. My former mantra. Now I'm getting that look from Sue. Sue's giving it. All right. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Okay, this is one of the most interesting ones in all the Bible. Because every preacher gives you something to do and said, be you doers of the word. But here, listen. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and what does that mean? Looking into the face of Jesus Christ, seeing only him. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You are a doer of the word by saying Jesus.
That's it, but a doer of the work.
What?
But a doer of the work.
Here it says work.
Well, excuse me. Doer of the work is you do the work when you see Jesus. That's the point. That's the mystery. And that's what everybody screws up on. Because they use that scripture as a means to cause people to do what they want them to do. Observe, that's why in obedience in the Old Testament is observe to do. You observe to do. Any man that seeth him, whether it was Abraham or Abel, all the way back, then he is a doer of the work.
If you're unable to do that work, if you will just make a donation, you will be partaker of the work I'm going to do.
And look at all the fruit we've got. A bunch of stillborn new believers who then are taught to lie by giving their testimony. Oh, I was bad, but now I'm good. I used to hear all the time when I was on that television show. Oh, the testimony of a new believer is so precious. One day I said on television, I said, no, it's not. It's crap. And boy, did I get the letters. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. All right. We're talking, let's go to one more, 1 Peter. Starting in verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober in hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or all manner of your life. because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." Let's look at one more while we're in Peter, with what I said earlier about his preaching to the dead.
What about that word holy?
Huh?
What about that word holy? What
is it? Salt shaker. It's holy if it's got only salt in it. If you put one grain of pepper in that salt shaker, it's unholy.
The holy and sanctified are...
Holy, sanctified, they're all the same thing. Hagios.
What Peter first...
First Peter, chapter 4. Verse 5.
Well, there's only one thing about being holy, and that's...
Empty.
Knowing who you contain. That's the word of
it. All right, verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick or the living and the dead? For this cause the gospel was and is... preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. That's an amazing scripture. You understand why it says he was the gospel preached on the dead? Again, it says there's no time in eternity. There's no time. So if it was, it is, and it will be. So be you perfect. Be you holy. And if you don't understand that, you'll never understand the fear of God. You think you do, but in your inner man, you deny it.
That implies some state of consciousness after you die that allows that to take place, I suppose.
That implies that, doesn't it?
Yes. And then it's almost like now your body is gone and dead, so maybe you're able to see and understand the perspective.
Well, we'll never know until we get there, for sure. We can have all kinds of... I've got all kinds of philosophies about it, but who cares what my philosophies are? I only care what's in here. That is what... A preacher can't tell you anything that you don't know already. If he's telling you something you don't know already, what he's telling you isn't true. You understand that? If there isn't that divine spark that connects internally, what the preacher says, or the teacher, then either your mind has been blinded because of all your total self-seeking, amen.
Can we look at James 1:26 real quick?
Well, look at it.
I am.
What does it say?
If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain.
Amen. So bridling is, what does it mean to bridle your tongue? It means what it obviously means is you put a governor and you be careful what you say. You think about what you say before you're going to say it so that you can be righteous. Isn't that what it means? That's what preachers will tell you what it means. The tongue can only be bridled by Jesus Christ. It's impossible for you to bridle your tongue. And if you try to, you will simply, as I said, become a hypocrite. If you think something and haven't said it, you're a hypocrite. Because only He can bridle your tongue. The government is on His shoulders, not on mine. Is that clear? You thought you were going to trick me, huh?
No.
What do you have to say about that?
We stopped short of that, and I read on, and I wanted to look at it.
All right. You understand?
Yeah.
Anybody have anything else? Take it, big guy.